All right, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bryce. Okay, oh, there's no one on the other lines. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your one and only Brycey J coming at you, the only pair member that matters. I'm going to be taking you through this podcast all on my own, so it's going to be a lot of rambling. It's going to be probably a lot of stopping, a lot of ums and ahs, but I think we get through it together, boys and girls. And we are the Port Adelaide pair, really. I mean, this is probably the worst iteration of a Port Adelaide pair that we've had yet, but I don't mind the sound of my own voice, so I think this will probably be a good podcast, and I'd like the feedback from the fans out there. I know we've got a couple of fans, and I'm pretty keen on hearing how we go with that. So I say, boys, why don't we just jump straight into this? Game against Richmond, season really technically on the line if we won it. There were some mathematical chances that we make it. We lost it, as we all assumed on the pair, boys. Last podcast, we said, yep, we're probably going to be a 40-point tonking. What would you know? It was 38 points. What are my thoughts, my general thoughts about the game? Just an interesting one, really. Brody said vibes were really high at the start of the game and said, we're absolutely going to smash them here, boys. And I thought to myself, give me some of what you're smoking, because I don't know what you're seeing. And sure enough, we did get our spanking. But I will admit, first half of football was pretty decent. Led by your usual suspects, your Butters, your Wines, your Houstons, etc. But we'll get onto that when we talk about the pair, though. Just my general thoughts on the game itself. We have got to be one of the worst disposal teams in the league. And what I mean by that is we suck at disposals. That's basically what I mean, really, in a nutshell. I'm no stats man, but I got to say, we'd be 18th in the league right now for efficiency. How many mistakes can one AFL team make? It's like turnover city. We make every team we play against look like they are the best team in the league. We give a turnover, it's a score immediately, because Richmond, Geelong, anyone we did it against just floods forward, and we've got no one. We got like Cleary and Trent McKenzie back there. I mean, I tell you what, I feel for Ken, because sometimes it is down to the players and their mistakes, but I think part of that is game plan. Part of that is being ready for a turnover and just having someone in the back line to sort of stop a flooded goal. But so really the game on my side, not great. Really not great. So I think we just get straight into the Pirlo. Some interesting votes. I probably agree with them because I think they're actually exactly how I voted for them. But we did have some to-ing and fro-ing from the pair boys about how this one would go. What do we do? One vote? Oh my goodness, I've never done this. One vote first. Goes to the Green Goblin himself, Wilhelm Drew. A great game from him. I love it when this guy touches the ball. He might not be your Butters, your Rosie, your Wines and all that, but when he's touching the ball, getting around it, I get a good feeling in my loins, really. 25 touches, 9 tackles as well. I think he was playing on Prestia, and Prestia had a pretty damn good game himself. But, what do I want Drew to do? I want him to get the touches. I don't know what I'm smoking now, because I want Drew to lock players down. Disregard what I just said. Prestia, 32 touches. Now, that's interesting. Anyway, we gave Will and Drew one vote. 2 votes goes to our Brownlow medalist, Gavin Wanganeen. No. Ollie Wines, 32 touches, 6 tackles, kicked a point, and went at 80% efficiency. So a pretty decent game from old Wines there. Not a lot to pick from in this game. So I think Wines just does his... He just sort of did what he had to do. And I think the standout 3-vote getter was our man, Zachariah Butters. 28 touches, 1 goal, 8 tackles, seemingly everywhere, putting the pressure on. Did this dope-ass little slide along the ground before kicking it, handballing to Farrell, who then kicked it to Rosie for a potential mark of the week. We'll get to that in a bit. But that was dope, and that's why he got my 3 votes. It was like a Spider-Man action hero move, and I loved it. Little updated standing. Burton on 11, Marshall 12, SPP 16, and Rosie is on 20. So with two games to go, you would think, well, I mean, yeah, the only mathematical chance to top Rosie is SPP, which I would love to see. Well, I'd like to see a close battle, really, if I'm being honest. So that's how that goes. What do you reckon, boys? Should we move on to goal of the week?
Goal of the week.
Okay, goal of the week goes to our man, Robbie Gray. A strange one. I mean, the goal itself, very easy. Kicked it from the top of the square, but I think we liked it just because of a bit of a humour involved. I reckon it might have been Nathan Broad. Comes over with a big fist from outside the square from like 15 metres away and punches it through. No, you cannot do that. Robbie Gray, very smart on it. Points to the player, says, points to the umpire, says, give me my goals now. I need my goals. Shall we move on to Mark of the Week, boys? Mark of the Week given to our man Connor Rosie for that beautiful little leap and like a slip off the back. It was wet weather footy. Everyone's worried about his knee. Is he playing up to his standard? Is he not? Boys, he's back. He's okay. He's taken that mark of the week. I still think probably Georgiades has him beat for the season so far, but we'll have to see about that. That's the game, boys. Anything else you want to talk about? No. Okay. I think we push it to the side. That was a loss. We move on. I think for me, this might be the time that I do my parry, and I've actually brought it back to an old classic song. I was recently listening to a playlist that's called like Old Bangers You Already Know. And that, I tell you what, it's filled with bangers. This one, absolutely we know. It's a Spice Girls wannabe. So I'm looking forward to doing it. Again, I don't have the vocal range of Mel B, Scary Spice, Posh, Tennis Spice. I forget who they are, but, you know, let's go for it. So it's wannabe, and it's really coming from the perspective of a fan talking to Kenneth Hinckley recently in the media for talking about maybe there's a change of jobs at the end of the season. I'm not going to buy into that too much. And, you know, I'm not even on the Zach Hinckley train. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm putting my stamp on that. I think that he's done some absolutely beautiful things for the club. Maybe there is a chance to bring in some new blood, just change up the scenery a bit. I get the benefits of that. I just want to see something from Hinckley in these last two games. So this sort of goes into that. Yeah, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I really, really want. So tell me what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really want a competent coach. If you want my faith, Ken, I'll forget your past. If you wanna coach for me, better change up fast. Now don't go wasting my precious time. Get your act together, we could be just fine. I tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really want a competent coach. If you wanna be my head coach, you get some wins. You ain't lasting forever, the season's gonna end. If you wanna be my head coach, you have to, got to give. Talking is too easy, but that's the way it is. I still botched it, but that was third take, by the way. That was pretty bad. I think I'm going to move on. I botched it towards the end, but this is what happens when you do semi-live productions. So really, basically, the message of that parody is, Kenny, you got my, you know, I want you to be head coach, but you do have to change some things in these last couple of weeks. So I'm looking for those changes. Now, moving on, the game's been pushed to the side. We move all the way on to Port v Essendon at Marvel Stadium. We do not play well at Marvel Stadium. Certainly not against these types of teams. I'm talking your North Melbourne, I'm talking your Essendons. I've got concerns, but I don't really care about the game enough anymore to really go into it. And I think we've moved past looking into the opposition team to see what we can do. Blake hasn't made any changes. He hasn't sent me through that. I think Rosie's good enough to play still. I want to talk about Trent McKenzie for a second. He looked bad. I'll give him a nice word. He looked bad in that first half. Sort of got to hide behind a few other players in that second half, but I don't know what was going on there. That was a bit of a strange one. To witness, just got absolutely manhandled by Tom Lynch. So potentially a change there, but, you know, I'm not a changes man, so I don't know who's actually going to come in for that. I like Tickle. I thought he provided something. I'm kind of keen to see where he goes for the rest of the season. Definitely a good tackler. Can just work on where he taps, who he's giving the ball to, those sorts of things. So looking forward to that. I think this is going to be a solid 30-point loss again. Like, I think they're just going to run over us. You know, I'm not really looking forward to that. I think I'd have the backing of the other pair boys on that, because I think we don't have the firepower to score goals anymore. The only thing I'm hoping for is a Charlie Dixon bag of five. Toddy Marsh does come back in, actually. That's a good point, from health and safety protocols. So maybe there's some way we can wrangle it where it's a Trent for Todd swap. Or maybe like a Jed McKenty. I like him. He's got something, but that something is probably going to be more of an SANFL standard at this point in his career. You know, he's only 21 for jeepers cripes. So he's got plenty of room to grow, but I think maybe it's a Todd for Jed situation. Yeah, I think 30-point loss, easy. Not too much else to speak about. And I think we just get on to the quiz. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say what the quiz questions is, and then give you a bit of time to answer, and then I'll tell you what the answer is. I think that's the most appropriate way to go about it. Give you about 3 seconds to answer, because if you don't get it in 3 seconds, you ain't getting it. Quiz topic. Blake said CBF doing Essendon games. I agree. Can't think of any that are worth talking about. So the quiz topic is our man, Stevie Motlop. With the news of his retirement at the end of this season, it's a good time to reflect on all the good he has done. This is question number one. When was his first year in the league? If you said 2010, give yourself a pat on the shoulder. I did. I knew it was 2010. Number two, when did he join the Port Adelaide Football Club? If you said 2018, you can give yourself a pat on the nuts. Number three, there is one team he has never lost to. Who is it? Gee, Stevie Motts. It is the Port Adelaide Football Club. 7 wins, 0 losses. Geelong really had the knockers on us, or the mockers, whatever you call them. They had it on us. Number four. In the two qualifying finals against Geelong, how many goals in total did he kick? If you said 5, you are correct, sir, or madame. And I take back my pat on the nuts. You can pat yourself somewhere else if you're a madame. Number five, reenact Anthony Hudson's commentary of when Motlop kicks the showdown sealer. Okay. What would I do? Stevie Motlop, what a time! I don't know. That's probably as good as I'm going to get for Hutto. I can't remember what he says. Is there any flashpoint? No, I don't think it's flashpoint. Is there flashpoint in that? Maybe. Anthony Hudson, shout out to that guy. He knows how to make a big moment even bigger. So if you did a good Stevie Motlop, what a time, I think you give yourself a pat on the back as well. That's a 5 from 5 from me. So I'll take the bickies on that one. And that is basically going to take us to the end of the podcast. So I apologize again, it was just the lonesome me, but maybe it's a better format. Maybe. I could talk about anything. Really, I could talk about School of Rock. I could talk about Tommy, the movie, the original rock opera from The Who. Seriously suggest watching that movie. Bit psychedelic, bit out there, but hey, it's a goddamn 70s. That's what you're going to get. No dialogue. That's what a rock opera is. No dialogue. Story told purely through the music. That's revolutionary, and we can thank the Who for that. The Who. Roger Daltrey, for example, and the other guy, Pete Flemington. That's not his name, but it's something along those lines. I'm rambling now. I'm going to call it. It's a no. 1.5 pairs. That's Bryce signing off. Love you.